Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So, I'd like to start out by asking a question. Why didn't Moses get to go into the promised land? Why did the Lord have him die there on Mount Nebo if, as the scriptures say, his eyes were still not weak and his strength was still not gone? Why didn't he get to experience the culmination and the conclusion of his life's work in his years of leadership? Do you know the answers to those questions? I bet some of you do, but my guess is most of you don't. I know them. Because the scriptures tell us. But before I tell you, I'd like to refresh you on a portion of the Exodus story. If you remember, the Israelites spent some 40 years wandering around the desert of Sinai. And as they neared the end of their journey, their propensity to grumble and to gripe was still as prevalent as it was at the very beginning of their 40 years of wandering around the desert. I'd like you to listen to an excerpt from Numbers chapter 20. Now there was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. They quarreled with Moses and said, "If only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord. Why did you bring the Lord's community into this desert that we and our livestock should die here? Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grain or figs, grapevines or pomegranates, and there is no water for us to drink." Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance to the tent of meeting and fell face down, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, "Take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community, so they and their livestock can drink." So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he had commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock?" Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them." And then in Deuteronomy 32, we read again, "On that same day, the Lord told Moses, 'Go up into the Abarim range to Mount Nebo in Moab, across from Jericho, and view Canaan, the land I am giving the Israelites as their own possession. There, on the mountain that you have climbed, you will die and be gathered to your people, just as your brother Aaron died on Mount Hor and was gathered to his people. This is because both of you broke faith with me in the presence of the Israelites at the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the desert of Zin, and because you did not uphold my holiness among the Israelites. Therefore, you will see the land only from a distance. You will not enter the land I am giving to the people of Israel." And so there you have it. That's the reason Moses wasn't let into the promised land. That's the reason that he died on Mount Nebo, even though his eyes were not weak and his strength was not gone. He died there as a punishment from God, because he struck the rock with his staff to get water instead of speaking to the rock to get water. Because of that one defiant act, Moses was banned from the promised land. which is pretty remarkable, considering that Moses had been God's trusted servant and his faithful follower for more than 40 years. And in lieu of the fact that God had specifically chosen him to be the one to go against Pharaoh, chosen him to be the receiver and then the giver of his law. Given the fact that in the book of Hebrews, it states that Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house. And that our text today from the end of Deuteronomy stated that at the time of the writing of this book, at the end of Deuteronomy there, no prophet had arisen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, or whom had ever shown the mighty power of God, or performed such awesome deeds. And thus, because of all those things I just mentioned, Moses was, and he still is, considered by the Jews to be someone like no one else. And yet, because of one slip-up, one misstep, one blunder, one mistake, Moses was punished by God and not allowed to enter into the promised land, which for 40 years he had been leading the people to. Almost doesn't seem fair, does it? I mean, Moses led these grumbling, griping Israelites for 40 years. And yet, because he hit the rock when he should have spoken to the rock, God would not let him into the land which he had led the people to. I think about this story and I thank God that I was not Moses, because I don't think I would have dealt with it as graciously or as humbly as Moses did. Especially given the fact that, if you know the story well, 40 years earlier, in the exact same place, there in the desert of Zin, God told him to strike the rock in order to get the water. So what's the big deal this time? Well, the big deal was that Moses broke faith with God. He distrusted God. Probably didn't think that speaking to the rock was going to be enough, and so he decided on his own to strike the rock. Which is rather sad. After all that he had seen God do for him for 40 plus years, all the things that he had been witness to as he watched what God had done in the lives of the Israelites. And yet at this point, he doubted God's direction in his life. He ended up behaving like the selfish Israelites, choosing to do things in his own way rather than in the way that God had directed him to. And worse yet, he did it in full view of the Israelites, thereby dishonoring God in their sight. And so Moses' punishment was not only just, it was in fact kind of soft, especially in light of God's first command. What is not fair, however, what is not just, is that God does not do the same thing to us, and even more. The truth be told, what God did to Moses because of his one act of faithlessness, he should do to us on almost a regular basis, because our lives are a constant succession of faithless acts and selfish deeds. How often don't we resemble the grumbling Israelites more than we do actually the faithful Moses? And yet God doesn't punish us. Or as the Bible states, He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our faithlessness. Rather, just the opposite. He is compassionate and gracious toward us, slow to anger and abounding in love. And why is God that way with us? Why does he show us mercy when he rightfully should show us wrath? Why does he forgive us when, according to his justice, he should punish us? Why does he overlook our sin? And in fact, remove our sin, as we talked about last week, as far as the east is from the west? The answer is simple. It's because of Jesus. It's always because of Jesus. Because he went to a cross and he bore the punishment of our sin. The punishment that we deserve for every faithless and selfish deed and act in our lives. God does not treat us as our sin deserves. Rather, God treated his own son, Jesus, the way that our sin deserves. And it's because of him that we've been forgiven. And because of him, not only will we get to see the promised land, but we're going to get to enter into the promised land of heaven. You see, the death and resurrection of Jesus changed everything for us. It changed the way that God looks at us, the way that God responds to us, the way that God treats us. No longer is his favor or our blessings conditional based on our obedience or based upon our faithfulness, but rather his favor toward us and his blessings for us are now a given. They're a constant. They are an absolute. So great is his love for those who fear him. You know, the question that we ought to ask ourselves when we look at this passage about Moses dying there on Mount Nebo, the question should never be, why did God punish Moses and not let him enter into the promised land? The question we ought to ask is, why doesn't God punish us? And why is he going to let us into the promised land of heaven? And more than that, not only why is he one day going to let us into heaven, but why has he already gone before us to prepare a place for us? And again, the answer to that is simple. The answer is Jesus. The answer is always Jesus. To God be the glory, for the sake of his son, Jesus. Amen.